You are now listening to the Walking Leader podcast, episode number 227.
Hello, I'm your host, David Guerra, author of The Walking Leader, and I welcome you to episode 227 of the Walking Leader podcast. I created the Walking Leader podcast with the understanding and intention that it was to be used as an audio tool for you, current and future leaders, to sharpen your skills and hone your craft. And now, without any further delay, let's get this episode started. All right, so this episode is self-leadership. Again, continuing with our self-leadership series, and we're going to talk about relationship building in this episode. Let's break it down first of all. What is self-leadership? It's based on taking the initiative, on being proactive. It's based on you taking the initiative, you being proactive. The self-leader is about intentionally influencing your own thinking, feelings, and actions towards your objectives and goals. Whether it be personal or professional or both, you must take that first, second, and third, and every step after that to achieve those objectives and goals. You must lead yourself before you can even think about leading others, and that's self-leadership. Now, what is relationship building? Well, Indeed.com defines relationship building as, quote, a combination of soft skills that a person applies to connect with others and form positive relationships. In the workplace, relationship building skills are essential for getting along with coworkers, contributing to a team, and building an understanding between yourself and others. Great, great definitions. Now, the why and the who. Well, why? Well, to create better and smoother running workplaces and to be a successful and engaged leader. All leaders that want to have people, that want people to follow them. That is the who. That's who and that's why. Because you must be engaged. And leaders, you have no choice but to build and maintain relationships with those, well, those that follow you and that you follow and those that you lead and those that are leading you. You have to establish those relationships. Now, true leaders, in order to attract followers, true leaders do not resort to fancy tricks, deception, or any other form of trickery. Nope. Leaders build relationships through true, authentic communication in the form of dialogue, not monologue. That's the manager's job. That's monologue. But in leaders at all levels, to achieve the true authentic relationships, well, it's communication in the form of dialogue, two-way dialogue. Managers that are used to flexing their perceived power, well, they resort to the tactics of the trickery that I mentioned. They'll resort to the monologue. They'll dictate, they'll tell, but they won't listen. They won't communicate. They won't exchange. They'll just give, and that's the manager. And again, there's nothing wrong. Somebody has to be the manager. But nowhere, and I've said it before, I've said it countless times, and I'll say it again, and I don't care what anybody does or does not believe it's true or not. Just because you're a manager does not make you a leader. And you do not have to be a leader if you're a manager, okay? Nor if you're not a manager. You know, you can be a leader if you're not a manager, okay? So I think I got that under control. So with that being said, how do you build relationships? Well, we're going to take a little deeper dive than normal. And a couple of things that you definitely need to know is, one, you have to show interest, genuine interest in the other person. In those people in your team, you have to show interest, one-on-one interest, not just as a group. Oh, hey, yeah. But again, hey, how was your weekend? How are things going? Is there anything we could do for you? How are you liking this? Hey, did you know that there's this training being offered? Maybe you could go to that training. Again, show interest in the other person at a level. But even then, sometimes it's not so easy, especially with new hires. How do you chip away to peel back that first layer? Well, first of all, the first thing you want to do, and especially because times are different now. This is 2021, on the verge of 2022, and times are different. First thing you want to do is you make sure that you can pronounce their name properly. I detest it. I detest it with a passion. People want to add two more R's in my last name. There's only two R's, not four. But when they say my last name and they never bother to ask me, they just go ahead and add four R's. They add four instead of the two that are plainly visibly there. So it bothers me. And so I understand where those individuals that have a name that might be a little bit different to pronounce or difficult to pronounce or spell differently than, but you want to make sure that you're saying it right. So, hey, it doesn't hurt to ask, hey, how do you pronounce your name? Don't just assume you know how to pronounce your name. Again, that's not going to get you anywhere. That's going to already throw up another barrier. And we're not here to build walls. No one is here to build walls, right? No one wants to put up barriers. Nobody wants barriers. But again, take that moment and just ask, hey, how do you pronounce your name? And hey, by the way, what are the pronouns you go by? Some of them are understood, and some individuals just go by the pronouns as done. But others, they opt, they choose, they want, and that's fine. And we have to respect that. And we also need to not forget that, because it's important to them. If you took the time to ask them what their name is, how to pronounce their name, if you took the time to ask them what their pronouns are, then guess what? They're kind of expecting you to follow that. I mean, why bother, right? So that's when you're taking that genuine interest in the other person. And when you're doing that, just that basic foundation, hey, how do I pronounce your name, or what are your pronouns? Well, that's it. That's the first building block in building trust. That's the first building block in relationship building. That's it, because when you have trust, you have respect. And when you have trust and respect, you have inclusion. And when you have trust, respect, and inclusion, you have open communication. So don't forget that, open communication. Now, over at the mindtools.com website, it offers what I found to be the best and most comprehensive list of what to do to build those solid, trustful, respectful, inclusive, open, and important relationships at work or at home. It doesn't matter. It is important that we do that. And I'm going to share those with you. First, you want to ensure you convey and they understand the level of the relationship that you're trying to create, whether it's a personal relationship or a professional relationship. Again, you got to be careful. You've got to have that understanding, first of all, because, well, you don't want to end up trying to build another relationship starting all over again, because, again, you didn't have that standard set in place. So ensure you've got that under control. Have your people skills up to date. Have them honed. Have them ready to rock and roll. Make sure that you are constantly practicing on your people skills. You as the leader, as the up-and-coming leader, you're going to need those people skills, and it's going to be important. Next, focus on your emotional intelligence. And again, the emotional intelligence is your ability to recognize your own emotions and better understand what they are telling you. So go with your gut. Listen to your gut. If something doesn't feel right, if something feels good, go with it. But again, proceed with caution, because again, you're trying to build a relationship. You're not just trying to throw something up quickly and it has just this facade, this fake wall that's going to crumble down. Because that's what happens with facades. Eventually they fall and people get discovered that way. So again, understand yourself before you can understand others. The next thing here that they list is practice mindful listening. Obviously, people respond better to those who truly listen to what they have to say. So by practicing mindful listening, you'll talk less and understand more, and you'll quickly become known as trustworthy. That's where we build that trust, as I mentioned at the beginning. So understand that you have to listen. Remember I said at the very beginning or earlier, I mentioned about asking them how to pronounce their name and what pronouns they go by. And for you not to forget that, well, there you go. That's the listening part. That's the let it sink in. Let it understand. The next thing, and this might be difficult, but you know what? It has to be. Everybody is busy. Everyone has X number of hours per day. And guess what? You have to utilize them to the best of your ability. And in that case, leaders, you have to schedule time to build relationships. And that's, again, from the mindtools.com website. Again, that's where all of this is coming from. And it's, like I said, it's a great list. And I'm going to share that link on the show notes. So be sure you visit the website to get that link, that direct link. So it says there, if possible, you could ask a colleague out for a quick cup of coffee or give a 1 minute kindness. Give a one-minute kindness, end quote, by commenting on a coworker's LinkedIn post you enjoyed reading. Those little interactions take time, but lay the groundwork for some strong relationships. And again, because they're understanding you. They're taking that time to share something about you, to be with you physically, proximity. And again, you know, again, professional, but it's everybody's schedule and that time is important. We know that. So that's why they're going to make that important time. And they're going to spend it with you. Leaders, make that time to go spend it with your staff. One at a time. Don't do the group thing because that's pointless. Unless it's a group activity and everybody understands it's a group activity, but it's not relationship building. It's team building. Understand that. Manage your boundaries. Manage your boundaries. Make time, but not too much. Sometimes a work relationship can impair productivity, especially when a friend or colleague begins to monopolize your time. It's important to set your boundaries and manage how much time you devote to social interactions at work. So again, be careful there. Those boundaries. Set that standard right up front. Set the standard right up front. Appreciate others. Everyone from your boss to the intern wants to feel that their work is appreciated. So genuinely compliment the people around you. When they do something well, praise and recognition will open the door to great work relationships. But folks, let it be honest praise. Let it be genuine praise. Let it be truthful recognition. Don't let it just be platitudes. Don't let it just be, again, the facade. Oh, well, I guess I have to say something nice. No, if you're not going to say something nice, then don't say anything at all. That speaks volumes. So if you've got nothing to say, don't make something up is what I'm getting at. Be positive. Focus on being positive. Positivity is contagious. Folks, put on a smile and other people will smile too. Because again, people gravitate to those that make them feel good. And as a leader, you're not just there to make people feel good. You're there to get the job done, the mission accomplished. But you know what? If you can be positive, if you can make them smile, if you can make it fun, even though you're in a serious workplace, it can still be fun. The job gets done. And guess what? They're going to like that. And others are going to pick up on that. So make sure that they understand that. The last one, and this is the one that's the most important. This is the one that sealed the deal with me. Avoid gossiping. This is the one. This right here is what sealed the deal in that. This article was great. Office politics and gossip can ruin workplace relationships. If you're experiencing conflict with someone in your group, talk to them directly about the problem. Gossiping with other colleagues will only exacerbate the situation, accelerating mistrust and animosity. Oh, there's nothing more than that. There is nothing more that I hate than that. And yes, I did say hate, because there are individuals out there that will use your relationship to their advantage so long as they're the ones that are able to move up. They're the ones that are able to get a favorable wink or a nod or you don't. There's plenty of them out there. I've experienced them for all different levels. I've experienced them throughout my time in the public sector, the private sector. They're out there. They're those individuals that will want you to trust them. They'll work hard and say, hey, and then what's the first thing they'll do is they'll turn around and go gossip to someone else about you. Hey, did you know what Dave did? Did you know that Dave did this? Dave did that? And of course, the others will listen to that. They'll buy into it. They'll feed in it. And then again, they not just create mistrust in the organization because, why are people hiring Dave? No, they'll also create mistrust between them and you because they don't come to you and say, hey, Dave, is this true? This is what I heard. Is this possibly true? No, people want to hear the negative before they'll even have the guts to think and address it. They'd rather believe the negativity about another individual than to say, you know what? The buck stops here. Let's go ask them. Let's go find out if this is true. And usually about 100 times out of 101, it's a lie. It's a bold-faced lie that those individuals were told. And the affected individual, the one that was being lied about, had no clue that this individual was that the individual that tried to befriend them was that type of individual until it's too late. Now, of course, there's going to be some instances where you come into an organization and somebody will say, look, that individual over there is toxic. That individual over there is so toxic, but because of the nature of the job, it's been very difficult to remove them. it's been very difficult to kind of do anything about them. And I've experienced that. I know in one workplace I was at for many, many years, there was one toxic individual, and people avoided that individual like the troll under the bridge because that individual was toxic. And if, any little thing that they could pick up on, they would use to their advantage, even though there was no advantage for them to use it, they still used it. And folks, those people are out there. Now, luckily, we're in a day and an age where those types of individuals are few and far between. They're going away like the dinosaur, but hey, they're still out there. They're still out there, and we need to be cautious. We need to be careful. As leaders, don't fall into the gossip. Don't fall into the office politics. If you can, squash it. Remove it. Stop it right where it begins. Because as a leader, you want to be respected. You want to be trusted. You want open communication. Stop the gossiping. Close it. Stop it dead in its tracks, and it's that simple. Now, all of this, what am I saying? All of this takes a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of work, a lot of hard work, and a lot of one-on-one time. It's going to take a lot of time, one-on-one and group and as individuals. It's going to take a lot of time to build that trust. But once you build it, because you spent all that time building it, you know how quick it is to lose trust? Microseconds. You lose trust in microseconds, and guess what? You'll probably never, ever build it back up. But again, be careful. So avoid putting yourself in situations that are going to create mistrust. Work on it. Set the standard right off the bat. And I know a lot of us want to fit in an organization. Many of us want, all of us want to fit in the organization. We want to be part of the team, the bigger picture. And along the way, if we do something good, we want to be recognized for it. But guess what? Leaders, you set that standard, then that's it. That's fine. You've set that standard. This is the expectation, and this is what's going to happen, and this is what's not going to happen. You know, I got a leader in my organization that I only see passing in the hallway once a day. Once a day. And that's enough. Because I am so glad that he is not the leader he's not the individual that I had as a manager at a previous assignment. Micromanaged everything. I got called into his office. I'm not kidding. One day I got called into his office asking me why my staff did not read the email he sent out to everybody. He actually kept track of everybody's return receipts. I walked away from that meeting. I immediately disabled return receipt. Because again, what kind of nonsense is that? What kind of leader is a micromanager like that? If they track read receipts, and they're still out there. I'm glad I'm not working with that individual anymore. But it's just one of those situations that already created that animosity. That just furthered the animosity. And I didn't do it out of spite. I just did it that, you know what? If my team is doing it, I'm going to have to do it too, because I'm going to back them up. So I'm going to take the heat first for myself than I will for that individual on my team. I'm not going to take the heat for them unless I'm doing it as well. So I told him, no worries, we'll take care of it. I took care of it. And guess what? He never called me back into his office again for that. Never. Because at that point, he understood he messed up. And luckily, I outlasted him. He was sent packing, because it did get to the point that it was just crazy. The nonsense he was pulling, the nonsense he was abusing his power, created that mistrust. It generated that mistrust, that no respect. He lost the respect. He lost the confidence of everybody there. So he was sent packing. But folks, again, do not put yourself in that situation. While yes, the power you may be granted is awesome, is fantastic. But as we've all heard before, when you're granted power, there comes responsibility. And power also corrupts. It corrupts, absolute power corrupts, and it corrupts absolutely. It's that simple. So understand that when you're building those relationships, be true, be authentic, be genuine, be yourself. Let them be themselves. Don't let the positions that you're both occupy or you're both filling dictate what's going to happen. Dictate the direction of the conversation. You don't want that. You want the conversation to be true and authentic. Of course, there's long as there's still respect, obviously, you know, for the positions. But understand that no matter what, it still begins with you as the leader. Extending that hand first, it begins with you as the leader, asking them how they're doing, asking them how to pronounce their name, asking them if what their pronouns are, asking them how they're feeling, asking them something that opens that dialogue, that begins that open communication, and you'd be good to go. We've reached the end of this episode, and as always, I hope you found this episode enjoyable, informative, and helped you gain a better understanding and help to start clearing out the fog that usually comes with becoming and remaining a leader of people. I invite you to let me know what you think, or if you have any comments, questions, then please email me, dave@daveguerra.com, or tweet me on Twitter @DaveGuerra, all one word. Or you can leave me a voicemail message on the Walking Leader Hotline at 956-720-0060. Everyone, you've been listening to the Walking Leader Podcast with me, David Guerra, United States Army veteran and author of The Walking Leader. I invite you to come back next time, where we continue taking the steps in our Walking Leader journey to becoming great followers and even better leaders. And remember, we must always go beyond the grind and go beyond the hustle, because today and every day, that is the only way to be the walking leader and a leader that is truly great to follow.
The Walking Leader Podcast is a David Guerra presentation.